Well, if you want to follow along in your Bibles with what we're going to go through today, this is something that I learned a long time ago, and unfortunately, you know, sometimes the lessons that you learned a long time ago, you practice a long time ago, but as the years go by, you kind of fall out of practicing them. Anybody ever realize that? And sometimes we find that in life, you know, some things become so, automatic in your life. Sometimes you forget that you're just doing it. And let's just hope that way in our spiritual life, in our walk in the Lord, that we get to a point where the good things that we do become so automatic that we forget all about it and forget teaching it. But yet it's still something that needs to be taught. And what I'm going to give you a message on today is really quite a simple message, but it's actually quite powerful. It's one of the biblical scriptures that is a principle for success in any part of your life, any aspect of your life. It can be a principle of success in your emotional life. It can be a principle for a success in your relationship life, in your business life, in your financial life. But it's also really important because it's also a very strong principle for your walk in the Lord. If we are to be called a people that set apart, a people that stand up, stand away from the world, higher than the world, that we are called to do greater things. And here's one thing I do know, that this principle that I'm going to explain to you right now can be used for your benefit, but if used improperly, it is also used towards your demise. And isn't that amazing? Because, you know, doesn't the Word of God cut both ways? You know, it can lift you up and it can tear your legs out right from underneath you, can it? Well, this scripture right here can do the same thing to you. You're going to find it in the 6th chapter of Galatians, chapter 6, verses I have down here, verses 6 through 10. And Paul is actually talking to the Galatians here mostly about not falling back under the law. Because some of the Galatians were saying, well, you know, what if we practice just this portion of the law? And he's saying, if you take on but a portion of it, you have to take on all of it. Just like he said, you know, a little leaven, a little yeast, doesn't it cause all the dough to rise? You have to keep it all out in order for that not to happen. And so he was explaining this and going back and forth all this, and he gets to a point that he says, listen, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, then shall he also reap. Now he was talking here about be careful of what you teach other people, because what you teach other people is what's going to come back to you. And I want to make this point real clear today. We have to be careful what we're sowing out there, because if we are sowing the wrong things, the wrong seeds, then we're going to bear the wrong fruit. There are some of us that would love to, you know, have everybody love us, have everybody like us, have everybody listen to us, but yet we're sowing seeds of contempt. We're sowing seeds of hatred. We're sowing seeds of bitterness, because even though you might be talking to their face and saying very nice, pretty words in front of their face, believe me, if we're talking or backstabbing them on the backside, is this not a small town? Do not things get around really fast? We used to have a saying in our household that we could tell a friend, we could telephone, we could television, or you could just tell my mom. You know, things get around really fast. In other words, if you wanted a secret kept, you didn't tell my mom. That wasn't the case. But it's true, isn't it? It was very true. See, because whatever we put out in the environment, and this is a law, and you can refute the law. You can say, Marty, I don't believe in that law. Just as much as you can get on top of a cliff and it's 100 feet down and say, I don't believe in the law of gravity and I'm going to prove it to you. And you can run off that cliff and start shouting, I don't believe in the law of gravity. I don't believe in the law of gravity. poof. He looked like the coyote on the Roadrunner and Coyote, that little puff of smoke. We can say things that we don't believe, but it is a law of nature or a law of success. It's a biblical law, and no matter what you do to say against it, the law still exists. Does it not? People can say, well, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter. He is who he is. You can say you don't believe it, but the funny thing about that is this. Even Satan believes in Jesus Christ. True? The world doesn't want to believe in Jesus Christ, because if it believes in Jesus Christ, then it might have to start understanding the things that Jesus Christ said, and then it has to start doing the things that Jesus Christ said to do. So therefore, it chooses just to say, the easier way is, I just don't believe all that stuff. True? Well, this is one of those things that Jesus said. Jesus taught them to and said to them that whatever you sow, you will reap. He said it in his parables in the book of Matthew. And Paul here is just kind of condensing it all down to one thing. He's saying, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. God cannot be fooled. You cannot go out there and preach, teach, show, do, set by example certain things and not expect those things to come back to you. Yes, God sent his son Jesus Christ into this world to die for our sins, but he did not send Jesus Christ into this world to pay whatever price that sinful nature is, the ramifications of that sin. And how I mean that is this. You can become saved through the course of your life. And if you were a drug addict all throughout your life, an alcoholic, a heavy smoker, do you think that just by becoming saved in Jesus Christ, do you not think that your body is going to have to pay the price for those things that you did to it? If you continue to do it, do you still think you would have to pay the price? If I drove my car 110 miles an hour everywhere I went, do you think, even though I profess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, do you think that I'm going to have to pay the price every time I get caught going 110 miles an hour? I'm not going to get to court and say, but Judge, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he died for my sins. I believe I have eternal life. He is my Savior, my salvation. He's going, true, but in the meantime, you're going to pay $1,400 for this violation. Because there are certain sins that we do on a daily basis that lest we turn them around, we will pay the price for them. They will come back to us. Because, again, you cannot sow one seed and expect something else to come up. Cannot sow the seeds for an almond tree and expect to harvest wheat. It just doesn't work. You can't have a field that's full of thistles and thorns and go out and plant, whatever, let's see, tomatoes, and not expect that those thistles and thorns would be all amongst the tomatoes. True? You have to eradicate something. You have to make a choice. See, the words that we say are probably the toughest thing that we have to get over. Scripture also says that it is better to give than to receive, does it not? Blessed is the man that gives. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And some people say, well, Marty, I don't have much. I don't have things to give. Well, I don't believe that God puts something in Scripture that says what it says if we don't have the ability to do it. For if it is blessed to give than to receive, more blessed to give than to receive, then here's what I truly believe. I truly believe that each and every one of us have something to give. It might not be in the shape of a dollar bill, or a five, or a 10, or a 20, or a 100. It might not be a check. It might not be your time, because your time might be completely taken. But the one thing I do know that each and every one of us have that we can give to each other is a word of encouragement, a word of uplifting each other. But we cannot expect that if we go the opposite direction and give a word of tearing down, a word of ridicule, a word of judgment, that that's going to lift somebody up. Doesn't Scripture also say, judge not what? Lest you be judged. In the manner in which you judge, you will be judged. And Lord, help us. I mean, I have made so many mistakes in my life. To sit here and for me to look upon other people and say, and tell them, and start judging them right there. Now, I can give them words of encouragement to help them turn around and go the other way. I can say, you know what, well, here's what happened in my life. You might want to consider this. This is your life to do what you want to do with it. But if you don't, here's what could possibly happen to you because it happened to me. It's a whole different way of guiding somebody and letting them know maybe they might want to rethink about what they're doing. So we have to understand that if we put out a word of judgment, judgment will come back to us. It doesn't matter if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Is this making sense? Because there are just certain rules of the universe that God has set in place. There are just certain rules. Some people try to skirt it because they think, well, you know, God, I live under grace. So any and everything I do, God's going to bless. No, that's not going to happen either. Some people are going to misconstrue this and say, well, you know, I believe in that, you know, you can get something for nothing. No, you can't. Our society today would try to tell us that we can get something for nothing. But believe me, whatever you get for nothing has cost somebody something, hasn't it? I mean, we see in our own town, people are down there now getting free government cell phones. And they say they're absolutely free. It's not costing anybody anything. Oh, yes, it is. It's costing those that are paying taxes and supporting the program. They have to work more to help provide that. So there is not a free lunch. We do have to pay for what we do or for what we do not do. And so Lord, I'll just get into it and say it. We've got to get better at lifting each other up. And I am just as guilty as this as possible, as anybody else. And so, I mean, what would happen in your own life, in your own family, in your own relationship to the people that you know, if every word that came out of your mouth was uplifting? Some kids are right now going, you mean my mom wouldn't get mad at me? No, that's not what that means. But she would correct you in an uplifting sense. Husbands, wives, what if everything that came out of your mouth pertaining to the one that you love the most, which is supposed to be your husband and wife, was always uplifting, never judgmental? My wife would wonder what in the heck ever happened to me. Because she says, I use her for the brunt of jokes far too often. And I keep telling her, honey, it's just the price you pay for being a preacher's wife. Okay? And then I pay the price later. But if God says it is blessed to give, more to give than to receive, and you don't have a lot of things to give, the one thing that I do know that we can give is a word of encouragement, a word of uplifting. And I've had some people say, well, Marty, I just got to get it off my chest. Great, write it down. Write it down. Tuck it away. Get it off your chest. Write your heart's content out. But ultimately ask yourself, is what I have to say that is maybe not in the most positive, uplifting spirit to somebody else, is that better for me or is it better for them? I have never seen somebody lifted up by being torn down, ever. Some people say, well, you know, sometimes people need a good swift kick in the butt. Yeah, they do. But you know, have you found that there are some people that have a way to be able to kick people in the butt in a way that they don't mind being kicked in the butt? True? There are just some people that have been given that gift. They can kick you in the butt and you're going, wow, you just kicked me in the butt and that felt good. I like it, thank you. Because they do it through a way of encouragement and of nice correctness. So my challenge going out to you today, and this was a challenge that I took a long time ago, and it worked for a while, but then I stopped doing it, is this. This is a challenge that could take, you're supposed to take 90 days. It could take some a year. It could take some a lifetime. Over the next 90 days, for those people that you love the most. It could be your husband, it could be your wife, it could be your child, it could be your mother, it could be your father, it could be anybody. It could be your best friends. Because here's the thing I know. The ones that we love the most, we seem to think that we have full reign to say whatever we want to say. And that's really the wrong thing to do. Because they're the ones that love us unconditionally. And sometimes when we think somebody loves us unconditionally, we can just say whatever we want to say to them, they're just going to still love us. But we have to realize that that person, whatever they're going through, they're trying their best also. They're doing their best to handle whatever situation they're handling. And the challenge is this. To those people that are the closest to you, the ones that you love the most, the ones that if tomorrow they were gone from the face of this earth, you would be devastated. Say words of encouragement. Only words of encouragement. Nothing negative coming out of your mouth going to them. And if, this is why I said this could take you 90 days, this could take you a year, could take you the rest of your life. If you find yourself saying something of a negative nature, the clock starts all over again. That means you could make it to day 89, and then all of a sudden you just happen to say something sarcastic to the one that you love. You get to start all the way back over at zero. Some of you are going, wow, this is going to be a tough challenge. But here's the thing I can guarantee you. If America took this challenge, divorce rates in our country would go from over 50% to probably less than 1. Family relationships where squabbles are taking place would start to shrink so immensely. Children would start to look at their parents like, wow, you haven't yelled at me in a month. Are you okay? Mom, Dad, you feeling good? And it's really important with them. Because how we treat them is how they will treat other people. I can't tell you how many times I used to hear parents get mad at their children for saying something when it is a direct mirror of what I've heard them say to other people. And then they get mad because now they hear them saying it to somebody else. But if what we sow is what we reap, who here would not like to reap a harvest of blessings? True? If you reap what you sow, who here that is sowing financial seeds, you're investing, you know that every time you put a dollar into this investment, you lose $1.50. How many of you would keep putting money into that account? You just wouldn't do it, would you? Because you see the immediate return. It's immediate losses. And pretty soon when you get to zero, it's just like you're saying to yourself, I'm just throwing my money away. Aren't the words that come out of your mouth more precious than money? Jesus said that the words of our mouth, if you waste them, it's called casting your pearls among swine. If he has given you words of wisdom and you use them upon idiots, people that, and I don't say that in a mean fashion, I'm not calling anybody here an idiot, I'm talking about somebody that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, somebody that's unwilling to listen to the word of God, to even entertain a thought that there is a higher being, why are you wasting your time? Why are you using the things that God has given you, the wisdom, the knowledge, the insight, the golden nuggets, why are you wasting it upon somebody that doesn't want it? But I do not know of an individual here that would not like to hear more loving kindness come from the ones that they love. Why do you think I love my granddaughter so much? She is so elated to see me. Each and every time she walks through the door, I just see the smile go from ear to ear to where her eyes become shut. And it lights me up. It makes the joy that's within me overflow. Compare that to sometimes when somebody that you love walks through the door and you hear the door and you hear the books slam on the counter. And they're coming towards you, and you're like, oh, crud, what did I do? You didn't do anything, but what has happened to you during that day is soon to be taken out upon you. Well, what about the one, because this has happened to me before, Dad, when I was 7 years old, 14 or 13, or excuse me, 12, 10 months? Yeah, 14, 7 years old, 10 months, 14 days. You told me at 2:31 in the afternoon this. And they proceed to lay into you. My wife can attest that I've had this happen to me too. True? Yeah, she's shaking her head. And then the one child says, yeah. And the other child says, I remember that too. And then the third child says, that's true, Dad. And next thing you know, you're being bombarded. I remember my one child, I'm not going to name which one it was. I was pretty strict as a father growing up. And I didn't let my kids go to parties when they were in high school. Oh, God forbid, right? Parents know what goes in. I knew what went on at parties when I was in high school. I didn't want to have my children go to parties in high school. And so after she got out of high school and she went to a party, something not very good happened to her. And she came to me after a couple years after it happened and tore into me, saying that had I had let her go to parties when she was in high school, she would have been better prepared to handle the situation. Wow. Didn't expect this one coming. Anybody would have seen that one coming? And I just couldn't help but say, well, you know, maybe the reason I didn't have you or let you go to parties when you're in high school is because something like this could happen. And that's why I did my best to prepare you not to go do things like this. Now she's more of an adult. She sees things in a different light. But you know, sometimes our children hold on to things. Sometimes we as parents hold on to things from our children. And they're usually not the greatest of things. They're usually the worst of things. And we have a tendency to bring them up every now and then. Just like what Satan does to you in your own life. Satan has a tendency to, because he does, he writes them all down. He writes down every little thing that he knows that he can bring up to you. Because he's not sowing seeds of greatness. He's not sowing seeds of love. He's not sowing seeds of kindness. He's sowing seeds of deceit. And he's saying, don't you remember when? And you did this. What makes you think you're any better than that person over there? Or that you are really, truly a Christian? And that Jesus Christ truly could love you? He might have died for some other people, but not for you. And we had those thoughts come through our head. Might not be that exactly, but we have that come through our head. And there were a time when we did sow those seeds, but not anymore. We've been called by Jesus Christ to be a peculiar people. I've had peculiar has been one of the words that has been used about me over the years. A people that have been set apart. A people that are lifted up from the fray to do better things. Not to feel that we look down upon anybody. Or that we can sit in a judgment seat. But we're in that position where we can say, you know what? I've been able to overcome this through the love of Jesus Christ. Through the strength that he's given me. He loves you too. Yeah, you've done some things, but he doesn't hold it against you. Sure, you might have to pay the price for it. Sure, you might be on death row because you murdered 6, 7 people. And you're on death row. Jesus loved you, but you're still going to have to pay the price for it. Because you have to pay the price of the sin, no matter what it is. I've never seen a death row inmate yet says, but I found Jesus Christ. You don't have to kill me now. You can set me free. We're about set to set you free. You're going to go see Jesus here in 30 days. That's what they're probably going to say. We have been called higher to do better things. The world can cut people down. But if you want love to come back to you, you have to sow the seeds of love. If you want respect to be given to you, you have to sow the seeds of respect. If you want patience to be given to you, you have to sow the seeds of patience. If you want to have understanding, you have to sow the seeds of understanding. If you want to have wisdom, you have to seek wisdom and start sowing the seeds of wisdom. Because you will never harvest something that you have not seeded. Is this making sense? It must happen. It is a law. It cannot go any other way. I want to be closer to Jesus. I want to have Jesus more prominent in my life. Then you better sow the seeds of prayer. You better sow the seeds of worship. You better sow the seeds of understanding. You better sow the seeds of getting into His Word. Because you're not going to do it just by saying, I want. You're not going to wake up one morning and be this holy, perfect person. I know that's what we would like. Because that's the easy road. And we all would like to have the easy road. I always called it my spiritual microwave. Remember before microwaves, we actually had to brew a cup of coffee? We had to heat the water up on the stove. And before there were stoves, you had to go out and get the wood, to put the wood inside, to light the wood, get the wood hot, put it on top of the stove that way to get the water hot, to have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. Now, it's just pump, put it in the microwave, hit it for 2 minutes, got a hot water, seep it, got it. Good to go. See, love, 3 minutes and 50 seconds. Boom. Understanding, 1 minute, 10 seconds. Boom. Patience, a lifetime. Boom. We want a microwave life. God says it doesn't work that way. You've got to go out there and sow the seed for it. Sow the seed. So good seeds get good things. So bad seeds get bad things. There's just no getting around it. So take the challenge. How many here with a show of hands will take that challenge? The next 90 days. Okay. Don't. Husbands, don't let the wife hold your arm up for you. Hold them up high so I can see. Because this is an accountability. And I'm just as accountable here. The next 90 days. And if you falter, just cross it out and start over. Okay, today is the first day, July 26th. It might be the first day for you is August 10th or August 11th. It doesn't matter. But continually, consciously work at it. Because see, this is something that God has given you. God has given you choice to do or not to do of His will. His will is that you would sow only good seeds. That is His will. Why? He wants you to have that blessedness. He wants to let you have the good things that this life has to give. Just start sowing those good things. Just start throwing them out there. Everybody, hi, good to see you. You might just shake some people up. What got into Marie? I don't know. She's been so nice lately. Always, everything she says is a good word. She's been wonderful to be around. Great. It's going to be amazing. I'm not picking on Marie. She just happened to be there, and she's my example. I get tired of looking over here, and I always have to pick on my wife. So, but you will find that. Lift people up. If you have something negative that you're thinking about, write it down for yourself. Confession to somebody else is not always good for the soul. I used to tell people when I counseled for getting married, I'd say, you know, listen, you're soon to be partner does not need to know every little thing that has gone on in your life. Every person that you have dated, or even if it's in a marriage and there's been problem of indiscretion, they don't need to know every detail. It might make you feel better that you get it off your chest, but you just burden them down from here to tomorrow. Because those thoughts and those visions and that understanding will never ever go away. So write them down for yourself if that's what you need to do. Keep a diary, keep a log, tuck it away, put your thoughts down in there. But keep your seeds good. Keep your seeds good. Because soon the seeds will become great. And then great will help lift you up higher than you've ever been before.